It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome to Money for Lunch. It's just a good time, a good time to be around, isn't it? It's just, as my buddy Arnold would say, it's fantastic. It's great. I'm excited. Anyway, I talking to one of our regular contributors this week, Tom Hopkins, who is somewhat legendary in the sales and training space. And one of the things that he said that I appreciate and I want to pass on to everybody, in case you didn't hear that episode, and that is Thanksgiving is really overlooked when it comes to sending out cards and thank yous and stuff like that. He says everybody does it for the bigger holidays, Christmas or Hanukkah, but Thanksgiving is overlooked, and you might make a bigger impact getting your thank yous out for Thanksgiving versus one of the other holidays. Just passing that along, right? That don't forget, I mean, Thanksgiving is what? Less than 10 days away, or right at 9 days away, whatever it is. And it's sometimes overlooked. Is it 9 or 10 days away? Anyway, it is happening fairly soon. Go out there and, you know, you can make a big impact. That's all I'm saying. It doesn't take a lot to stand out and be remembered. And if you cannot afford a big, smanshy, fancy gift, good. Maybe a handwritten card. You can go to Hallmark, buy a nice card, or a stationery store, buy a nice card, and make this thing called a handwritten note, kind of a lost art form for many people. Before we get into the show today, and today's guest is Francis Jackson, who specializes in disability law and veterans disability benefits, I want to welcome one of our latest sponsors, the Bitcoin Conference, the Bitcoin Super Summit.
The Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Blockchain Super Conference is coming to Dallas, Texas, February 16, 17, and 18 in 2018. If you know of a better way to get the latest insider knowledge about crypto, to hear directly from the top minds in this field, to interact personally with 800 fellow crypto lovers, hodlers, investors, miners, traders, developers, and founders, then I'd like to hear about it. If you don't, then you don't want to miss out. Register today for the Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Blockchain Super Conference. Go to BitcoinSuperConference.com and register today as a super early bird to get the lowest rates on tickets and hotel rooms. That's BitcoinSuperConference.com.
All right, BitcoinSuperConference.com. That's what it is, BitcoinSuperConference.com. I don't know about you guys, but I have been looking at and doing some research on Bitcoin. I think there's a lot of questions there that could be answered. And Bitcoin Super Conference might be the place to go. Check it out. In the house today, we have Francis Jackson. Francis Jackson is an attorney who specializes in disability law for those seeking veterans disability benefits, as well as Social Security disability benefits. He's a founding partner of Jackson McNichol. He has been featured on NBC, CBS, ABC, and Fox network affiliates around the country. He most recently appeared as a guest of Ben Glass on the Consumer Advocate Show, discussing benefits for veterans and Social Security disability benefits, and how his practice allows him to make a difference in the lives of people facing disabilities. He's also been quoted in USA Today and is listed in Cambridge Who's Who. Mr. Jackson was honored by National Academy of Bestselling Authors with a Quillie Award in September of 2012 for his contribution as a joint author to the Amazon bestseller Protect and Defend, where he wrote about protecting one's rights to veterans' disability compensation. Francis Jackson, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Thanks, Bert. It's always a pleasure being here with you.
Thank you so much. It's good to hear you again so soon. We got to hang out for a few minutes while you were visiting, Phoenix. And so that was kind of a nice treat. And now you're back in what I'm guessing is a much cooler temperature.
That's for sure.
Yeah. All right. So let's dive into this. One of the reasons I was so excited about having you on the show today is I wanted to ask you, have there been any updates from the great United States? Has the government established any new benefits for our veterans?
Actually, Bert, there's one that I think will be of interest to a lot of your listeners. What the government has just done is to open up the right to buy from the Army and Air Force Exchange Service, the what used to be referred to as the Post Exchange, to all honorably discharged veterans. As you know, it used to be limited to folks on active duty, or in the National
right.
Guard or Reserves, or retired military, and folks who were 100% disabled with the VA. But now they've opened it up to all honorably discharged veterans, which is a big deal. The post-exchange kind of buying basically is pretty much competitive with Amazon. The nice thing is nobody has to pay any tax on these purchases, so you always save a little, and sometimes you save a lot.
That is a sweet deal. So grateful for the government doing that. That was a smart idea on their part. I wish they would have done it sooner. That's fantastic, though. So you get to, what do they call it, the PX, I think, and you're able to, as an honorably discharged veteran, you can access those prices and not pay any taxes.
That's right.
That could be substantial. I mean, depending on what they have, I mean, you think about it, if you're out there spending, $500 or $1,000 for the holiday shopping, which is very common, you can easily save, who knows how much you save off the retail, but you'll easily save, 8 to 10% on the taxation part. So that's a nice little benefit. Good for them.
It is. It's a nice little perk for veterans.
Absolutely. No, I think it's great. All right. So let me ask you this. Has there been any significant new legislation regarding veterans? I asked you this just, a couple of weeks ago, it seems like, but I always like to ask you that because it changes quite often. So any updates?
Yeah, Bert, there have actually been several changes.
Tell me.
This is sort of a good news, bad news. There have actually been
okay.
a couple changes that kind of weigh one way and the other. You may remember the last time we talked about the Veterans Choice Program opening up health care to veterans who were not in an area where they could easily access health care through the VA system, and this would pay for benefits from private medical providers. Well,
right.
Congress has put that on hold because they got a preliminary price tag from the General Accounting Office who said, this is going to cost $40 billion, and maybe you ought to think you're going to get that. So the committee has put off a final vote on taking action on that bill pending further analysis of the impact on the budget, and who knows where that'll go. The good news piece, that was the bad news piece, the good news piece is that Secretary Shulkin, Secretary Shulkin has gone to the White House with recommendations for expanding presumptive coverage for Agent Orange related diseases for those who served in Vietnam. And this is kind of a multi-step process, so we're not at the end yet. But as you may remember, several years ago, well, year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago now, the medical folks provided the secretary with new information saying that there were additional conditions that could reasonably be expected to be related to Agent Orange, including things like bladder cancer and hypothyroidism and Parkinson-type tremors, hypertension. And the VA has been kind of sitting on that for the last year and a half, but Shulkin has finally taken the next step, which is to present those proposed presumptive conditions to the White House for their approval to put them out as final regulations. What that would mean is that anyone who served in Vietnam was, as they say, boots on the ground in Vietnam, and who suffers from bladder cancer, hypothyroidism, Parkinson's, or hypertension may be able to leap over the part of the VA process where you have to prove that your condition was connected to service and just go to the easier and further step of proving the severity of the current condition. So that's potentially a big deal for that limited group of people. It's impossible to know how soon the White House will act on it or whether they will approve all of the conditions that Secretary Shulkin has suggested, but it's at least the next step and an important step.
Absolutely. Okay, so let me ask you this. Walk us through this. Let's say that this presumptive step is not approved. Walk us through what a typical boots on the ground type of individual suffering from some of these diseases has to go through.
Sure. Well, let me just take the first one, bladder cancer. Here's how it works. If you are suffering from bladder cancer and you think that your cancer is the result of exposure to Agent Orange while you were in the military, you file a claim. The regional office will act on that claim, typically with a denial, and you'll need to go further in the chain usually, but it all depends on the medical evidence. What you have to do is to provide medical evidence that demonstrates three facts. One, that you were in Vietnam and thus potentially exposed to Agent Orange. Two, that you currently have bladder cancer. And three, and this is the one where everybody falls down, that there is a medical causation of the bladder cancer by or from the exposure to Agent Orange. As you can appreciate, it's very difficult for an average person off the street to find a way to prove that. Essentially, what you have to do is to get a report from an oncologist explaining all of the underlying factors that demonstrate that there is a relationship between exposure to Agent Orange and development of bladder cancer. And while there's no presumption, that's the way you have to do it. You have to, each individual person who makes such a claim has to get that medical evidence and prove their claim. What would happen if the presumption is approved is that you would be able to skip that step, and all you would have to prove is that, A, you were stationed in Vietnam during the Vietnam War and thus potentially exposed to Agent Orange, and B, that you currently have bladder cancer, and then the VA would go forward and rate the severity of your current condition.
Wow. And I like, you know, and something that I want to point out, that you said that you filed this claim and it sounded the way you said it, that it's denied fairly often, very, very quickly sometimes, but imagine your son or daughter, husband, wife, who's already sick. Now they have to fight this battle to get the benefits that they were promised when they were protecting and defending our country.
That's the problem, Bert. You see, what the reason that most of those cases get denied at the beginning is that, as you may remember, the VA is the one agency in the entire government where you can't hire and pay an attorney to represent you when you file your claim. So typically, these claims are filed by someone either on their own or with the help of a veteran service officer from an organization like the American Legion or DAV or one of those. And it is very rare when an individual or the service officers have access to the kind of expertise that would let you get the proof that's necessary to tie the exposure to Agent Orange to the current condition.
Yeah. That is, to me, such a shameful thing that, that our men and women have to go through, our veterans have to go through. Let's talk about this. Any significant or new legislation regarding veterans?
Well, there are a couple of things, Bert. The other thing that is sort of along the healthcare front that we haven't touched on at this point is there's expanded coverage for mental health conditions. This hasn't passed the Senate yet, but the House just passed the legislation that would provide mental health care for veterans who have either an undesirable discharge or bad conduct discharge. I'm sure you'll remember that normally veterans' benefits, including medical care, are reserved to folks who have either an honorable discharge or at least a general discharge under honorable conditions. But
right.
What the government has figured out and the House has acknowledged in this bill is that a lot of people who end up leaving the military based on either an undesirable discharge or bad conduct discharge are doing that because they've incurred significant mental health problems, often while in the military. It could be PTSD, it could be a variety of other conditions. But what this bill is intended to do is to try to provide mental health care for people who were released from service with mental problems, even though those problems caused them to be less than desirable soldiers, and they ultimately either acted out in ways that weren't acceptable or actually committed offenses and ultimately were sent out of the military with either a bad conduct discharge or an undesirable discharge. And probably the classic example of the person that this would serve is this fellow who was the shooter recently in Texas, who left the military with undesirable and obviously has some mental health problems. And that group of people can't get mental health care from the VA. And the thought here is that by providing mental health care to that group, we may be able to prevent at least some future tragedies. There's no knowing, of course, if you prevent them, what otherwise would have happened. But that's the thinking, and it seems to me that's a useful way to approach the problem, and I'm hoping that the bill will ultimately pass the Senate.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on. That is important. I think now more than ever, mental illness doesn't have the stigma that it used to be. When you and I were growing up, if you got mental health, whatever, if you had anything in that area, you were, society kind of shunned you a little bit, and now people are starting to realize that, our heads get scrambled and we need help, and it's not, it's not going to get better without help. And I'm glad that the VA is recognizing that that some of these people might be able to be turned around if they get the proper mental health therapy or whatever it is they need in that area. So that to me is exciting. I like that. And you know what? If we can prevent one shooting, that's significant to me.
I think that's right, Bert. I think that's a big deal. The other thing that has come up, and this is really a wild card. Nobody knows where this goes or how at this point. But you remember a few years ago, the armed forces went through this whole round of base closings and consolidated facilities and attempted to save various costs and so on. There's a similar bill in the works for the VA to look at all of their facilities, decide which ones are potentially worth keeping and which ones ought to be closed. But the problem, as you can appreciate, is that it's very hard to assess which of those programs are really needed on an ongoing basis by veterans and are worth the cost. So nobody really has any idea yet what the criteria are going to be for this potential facility closing or where that's all going. And it's like the base closing, one of these under-the-radar arrangements where nobody really gets much detail until they come out with the proposed list of closings. So it's just an area of concern at this point as to what programs they're going to decide don't need to be continued and what ones they think need to be continued. And it's a little scary because, as you know, the VA has already been under a lot of pressure from not being able to deliver health care in particular. So closing facilities doesn't seem like, on its face, a particularly veteran-friendly approach, but it's impossible to tell what the commission's ultimately going to recommend. But it doesn't appear from the bill that they have the power to recommend that programs be expanded or consolidated, only which ones should go away. So who knows? We'll just have to wait and see where that all goes.
Yeah. And I agree with you. On the face of it, it doesn't sound very veteran friendly, and hopefully they're thinking that maybe they can deliver, you know, if they can take, if they can consolidate some of these, properties or hospitals or clinics, and then take those people and place them in these consolidated areas, that maybe they can deliver better service. Because as you know, and I know this because of you being on the show, that the wait times for some of our veterans are exhausting. I mean, they can be, you know, months before they get an appointment, and a lot of times their paperwork is lost and things of that nature. So it's you know, it's one of those things where it sounds like they're trying to figure out how to be more efficient, but at the same time, you know, if they close one of the clinics or hospitals or service centers that you're currently utilizing, and all of a sudden you have to drive an hour or two or three to a new facility, yeah, that's not very good.
We just have to wait and see where it goes.
Yeah. All right. So let me ask you this, because I thought, so we have that bill there, and were there a couple of other bills?
Just the ones that we talked about, Bert, with the issues on health care. The other piece, as we touched on a while ago, is that it does look like the agency is trying to expand potential compensation benefits. And as we talked about a little bit, Secretary Shulkin has advanced that process with taking the recommendations from the National Academy of Medicine regarding Agent Orange exposure to the next step.
That's right.
By taking those to the White House. Unfortunately, until that gets acted on, folks suffering from those conditions will have to do it the old hard way, which is to go in and prove service connection one person at a time. And as you and I have talked about, that can be a very slow and difficult process.
Yes, very slow is a great adjective there. All right, so let's talk about this. I thought that there was a report, but I couldn't find it. So let me ask you this. Has there been any significant action by the VA regarding the Veterans Compensation Benefits Program?
That's the one we were just touching on, Bert, the proposed expansion. And, you know, that really will be a big deal for those folks. I'm sure you remember that what Agent Orange does is to create, think of it as similar to tobacco exposure. Basically, it's exposure to a carcinogen, and it can be the source of a number of different kinds of problems depending on how your particular body reacts to it. Some people get one problem, some people get a multitude of them, and obviously people get different ones. But the most common problems are diabetes, hypertension, and the various cancers. There are a number of very unpleasant cancers that you can get from exposure to Agent Orange. So what we're looking at is right now everybody has to prove those things individually until they go on the presumptive list. And that's a real problem. You know, in our office, we see a lot of those cases. We've had cases with stomach cancer, for example, which is not on the list. And it's just very slow and very difficult to prove those things. But the conditions that go onto the list will finally be much faster to move forward, because the big delay in most of these cases is proving the medical link between the current problem and what happened to you in service. And the presumption solves that link for you. Then all you have to prove is that you currently have the medical problem and that it's disabling at whatever level it's disabling at to you, which can vary from not too bad to pretty awful. So those are the that's the big piece in terms of advances in the compensation. We're still waiting for the VA, as you and I have talked about, to get the regulations out on the new appeal process. So that's kind of all sort of up in the air. Nobody really knows where that's going. But that's probably the next big thing, in addition to whatever the White House does with Shulkin's recommendations about presumptions. Those are the two big pieces that are sort of floating in the air, separate from the legislation.
Yeah. You know what? And you and I have talked about Mr. Shulkin, and I, you know, again, we see some evidence that he's trying to do something. He's trying to do something to help the vets. And it's first of all, thank you, Secretary Shulkin, for doing that. It is such a huge beast. People do not understand, and I fully did not understand how big the VA is. You and I again have talked about this before. It's the second biggest department of our government.
In the entire government. That's right, Bert. It's a huge thing.
Yeah, and people don't get that, and you wonder why it's so slow and so difficult, and that's why, because it is so big, it's got so many layers, and I remember this to impress upon our listeners how difficult this is with our past VA secretary. You know, he came in there and he wanted to fire a bunch of people, and he did. He fired, I think it was a crazy amount of people. He fired like 1,000 people for not doing their job. And then somebody filed a grievance or whatever, and it was explained that he couldn't fire everybody because some of these people have certain whatever rights, and they have to go through administrative hearings and appeals. The bureaucracy is so thick that you can't even get rid of bad people.
That unfortunately is true, Bert. I mean, it's not impossible, but you have to really make a very clear case. I mean, I'm sure you remember that the origin of all those civil service protections is back in the Hatch Act, which was put through because back in the 1700s and 1800s, when the new administration would come in, they would routinely fire all the, if they were Democrats, they'd fire all the Republicans. If they were Republicans, they'd fire all the Democrats. And people figured out that that really wasn't the best way to run the country. So they put these civil service protections in place. But it's, as you were explaining, a two-edged sword. What it really means is that for the VA or any other government department to get rid of an unsatisfactory employee, if the employee resists, it takes a lot of time. It's a fairly lengthy, slow process, goes through the Office of Personnel Management, goes through potentially an appeal to the board, the personnel board, even an appeal to the circuit court level in Washington. So it can take quite a while. And that's the downside of these protections. And when you have a big bureaucracy that you're trying to manage, it's just very difficult if you can't move people quickly or remove people quickly in this instance. So it's an ongoing problem.
Yeah, it really is. And again, I've said this a lot, but I totally mean it, that if it wasn't for your firm there at Jackson McNichol and other attorneys like Jackson McNichol that our veterans would really have such a massively difficult time. This is an uphill battle going up, you know, an uphill battle in the snow during the rain, you know, both ways. This is such a difficult thing. You know, you've had clients that have taken, 10 plus years to get their benefits.
Yes, you'll remember one of my longest running cases. We had the gentleman on the show a while back, and he had filed his claim in 1993. We finally got him service-connected for his back in 2016. So, you know, it can be crazy bad. Usually it's not that bad. That's exceptional, but it can be really bad.
Sure. And these are the cases that we know about, ladies and gentlemen. Again, if you know of a veteran's family, please have them listen to this program. Please have them, if they have any questions at all, have them connect with Francis Jackson and his team. Get those questions answered. Do not suffer in silence, because I guarantee you, Francis, there are a lot of people who have suffered in silence, and because they were veterans, because they fought for our country, they just, you know, they suffered in silence until their death, and they just took that as another, badge of honor, because the people who serve our country are very special people, and you know what, they're not looking for a handout, they're just looking for the benefits that were promised to them, and they so rightfully deserve. So I appreciate the work that you and your partner do there at Jackson McNichol.
Thanks so much, Bert.
Well, Francis, I'm excited. You know, one of the other things that I'm excited about is your daughter, Alex, is now a practicing attorney. And I'm, you know, and she's going to be working with you, expanding a different area of law there, and looking forward to getting to know her.
We're looking forward to that too, Bert. It's a real exciting time for me, having her admitted to the bar and starting to work with me.
Absolutely. Well, Francis, we're out of time. Again, it's always so good to have you here. Looking forward to catching up with you later.
You take care, Bert.
All righty. Good stuff there from Francis Jackson, attorney specializing in disability law for those seeking veterans disability benefits as well as Social Security disability benefits. You are not in any way an annoyance. You are not, a burden by getting your benefits. Again, ladies and gentlemen, there are tons of people out there who are suffering with the post-traumatic stress. They are suffering from other mental issues. They're suffering with disease and with all sorts of other problems. And if you know of a veteran, even if he's completely happy or, you know, whatever, they just seem completely happy, just let them know that you care about them. Let them know that Francis Jackson and his team care about them. And that if they have questions about what they're entitled to, then Francis Jackson and his team can help them out at Jackson-McNichol, M-A-C-N-I-C-H-O-L.com, Jackson-McNichol.com. And a lot of families don't know this, but if the spouse of that family has passed away during service, they are entitled to benefits. And again, it's good to get a checkup. Maybe they're receiving everything they're entitled to. Great. Maybe they're not. It doesn't hurt to go to Jackson-McNichol.com, verify, get some questions answered. Do not suffer in silence. That's all I'm going to say about that. Other than if you are a veteran, I want to say thank you so much for serving our country, doing it so dutifully, so proudly. God bless America. And remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.